Well, I'm glad the Lord saw fit to bring you here today. And it's good to be here. All right, let's go to our Father in prayer. And then we'll get in the Word. Father, this morning, we're going to take a clear look at you through Jesus. And I pray that you help us see. I pray that you increase our faith. I pray that this week will be better than last week. I pray that we will be closer to you than we have before. I pray that we will serve you with more zeal than we have been. I pray that we trust you and have less fear and less anxiety. I pray, Father, that we will believe and trust your promise of being near. We love you, Lord, and we just ask that you increase our faith every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead and open your Bible to the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew. We're going to take a look in the month of December. We're going to go into Matthew's Gospel. Matthew's Gospel is the first book of the New Testament, and it is specifically God telling the story of Jesus to a Jewish audience. And he is writing specifically for those who know the Old Testament, who know the Scriptures, who know the Torah. And so Matthew is showing Jesus, his life, through those eyes. And at the beginning of Matthew's Gospel, the beginning of Matthew's telling of the story of Jesus, we have four Old Testament promises that God has made years and years prior, and then Matthew shows how God has fulfilled those promises. And this first promise that we're going to see in Matthew chapter 1, this first promise makes sure that we are never alone. Some of us love alone time, don't we? You all just be quiet to yourselves. Some of us can't stand to be alone, can we? We need to be surrounded by others. We need the noise. It makes us feel comfortable. Now, I had an experience this week. It was an experience. I had to go to the doctor this week. I don't think I've been to a doctor for myself in my adult life. Since we were married. 20-something years, I have not set foot in a doctor's office or a hospital for me. For her. For the boys. Not for me. Now, it wasn't a big deal. It was just a deal. And it was a deal that had gotten out of my ability to control it. And so I found myself sitting on a bed with a back, paper under me, all alone. Now, I'll be honest, I wasn't real comfortable. I wasn't real comfortable because the purpose of my visit, was dermatological in nature. And I figured needles or knives were in my near future. Two of my favorite things. Now, this had occurred, I tried everything. I went to the day before, I went to the school nurse, and I said, "Hey, I got an issue." And she said, "You need to see a doctor." And I said, "I hate to break it to you, but you are my healthcare professional. I have no other. And so I had this thing on my arm. And she said, "Well, I don't know what to do." I said, "You're the nurse. I don't know what to do." And she said, "I don't have a scalpel." I said, "Well, they won't let me carry a knife at school, so what are we going to do here?" And she said, "Well, I got a needle." Awesome. Let's get that thing rubbed down with alcohol. And so I'm there in the nurse's office because she won't do this, and I'm digging in my own arm with this needle. trying to figure it out. Whatever's going, I got something under my skin. There's something under there. And so I'm trying to dig it out. At this point, she's the one getting squeamish because I got no problem cutting myself. I can handle that. We dig and dig and dig and nothing. And she's like, well, that's not it. Okay. Well, the next morning I went to see my healthcare professional and the infection that is the red circle had gotten larger. And she said, you're going now. So I went to the doctor. Wonderful lady. She was a nurse practitioner. Again, still haven't been to the doctor. I'm batting 1,000. The nurse practitioner, they get me in, they ask me a couple of questions, and I have not felt that alone in a while, sitting in that small room waiting for whatever was coming on the other side of the door. And I was right. Shots, cutting, squeezing, digging, all of that. I went back to school, and honestly, all people wanted to know was, did you film it? I said, no. No, I did not film it. I did not film it. I did not want to be on Dr. Pimple Popper. That was not my goal. My goal was whatever's in there needs to come out. So nobody filmed it. They were disappointed. They were disappointed. But I felt a little alone in that room. I felt a little alone in that room. And it just made me think how often in our lives when we go through things that we just feel alone. And it's not reality. It's not reality. It's just how we're feeling at the moment. Now sometimes our circumstances make us feel alone, don't they? Like we think that we are going through something that no one else can understand, that no one else can relate to. Or we are having trouble and the enemy will even use that trouble to say, no one's gonna understand that. No one's going to be sympathetic to you. They're just going to be judgmental. No one will understand your struggles. And so we sit alone with what we're going through. Instead of taking it to God and just laying it bare and saying, Lord, here's what I have and I need help. Instead of calling a brother or sister in Christ and saying, hey, look, I'm in something and I need help. We sit isolated. Sometimes it's our own emotions, isn't it? Sometimes we can be in a room filled with people and the enemy is just right there just going, you know, these people are all fake. These people are all fake. None of them care about you. In fact, as soon as that last amen happens, you run straight to your car. And if no one tackles you, they're not love. Know what I mean? We can sit in a full room full of people and say, why do I feel so alone? Well, the first promise that Matthew's gospel provides for us, this first promise makes sure that we are never alone. Matthew chapter 1, let's look at verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife. For that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. And this next quote is from Isaiah 7. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. The first promise fulfilled in Jesus is that he would come into the world through a miraculous entry. And in Jesus, God would always be with us. Just let that wash over. This is the first promise of God fulfilled in His Son. That God was coming into His own creation. And that He would be Emmanuel. That God would be with us. That God would be with us. And His name is Jesus. Because He is the one that saves us from our sins. God's forgiveness and God's presence given to us in the gift of His Son. Church, those in Jesus Christ are never alone. God is with us. We may feel isolated. We may have experiences that we believe separate us from other people or put a division wall between us and others. But God is with us. Let's turn over to Psalm 46. Psalm 46 Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, a holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. He shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters His voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how He has brought desolation on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Be still and know that I am God. Church, so much can be accomplished in your life when God brings you to a desolate or lonely place, if you will just trust Him as your refuge. When God brings you to that trouble, do not look at the trouble as though it were a mountain tottering ready to fall on you. Don't look at that problem or that situation as though it will be the end of you. Instead, choose to trust God and His promise that He is with you. He is your refuge, your protection. He is your strength. God is with you. There is nothing that will overcome Him. The psalmist in 46 points out, you think about all the great and terrible armies throughout history. They're no more. They're no more. And those that exist today will not last. And all those who thrash about and try to kick against the goads and try to deny God's existence or fight against God's children, they will all be laid to waste. There is one God, and He has sent us His one Son. He has provided for us salvation. God is with us. So we don't have to be afraid. In fact, we must not be afraid. Now back to Matthew. You can imagine, and Chester read for us in Luke's gospel, where Luke kind of digs into these details of this news a little bit deeper. You can just imagine what it must have been like for Mary and Joseph. And we need to imagine it. Because just as God comes to them, you and I are the real flesh and blood people in which God chooses to come to. So we need to see what it looks like. We need to see what it sounds like. We need to see what it feels like. If we ignore the biblical story and just say, well, you know, because this is what we're good at. Okay, yes, we all believe in the Bible. We all know the Bible. We all know the story. But God doesn't work like that anymore. Well, if he doesn't work in the biblical ways anymore, then I'm being really careful to say what the next, to listen to what the next words out of your mouth are, right? So let's pay attention. Let's pay attention to these real life people that are experiencing God's presence. I mean, I can imagine. I can imagine God comes to Mary, this young girl, and says, hey, you're going to have a child. And it's from God. And Joseph finds out about it because they're just engaged at this point. They're not married. They haven't gone through the marriage ceremony. They're just engaged. And Joseph finds out and he says, well, you know, I thought she was a good girl. I'm just going to try to make all of this go away to kind of keep the shame from the families. Church, God could have entered into his creation any of a multitude of ways. And yet, how did he break through? Through a very difficult, challenging, and personal way for those involved. I believe there's a lesson in that. Because so often, God puts you and God puts me in very difficult and challenging circumstances. And our first instinct is not, God, what would you have me do in this circumstance? But, God, remove this opportunity for your glory. I didn't hear amens, but I felt them. Because you know what I'm talking about, because we are all guilty. God puts us, just like Mary and Joseph, in overwhelming circumstances. Circumstances that we cannot imagine what the solution will look like. I'm this young girl, and an angel comes to me and says, you're going to have a baby. Well, no, you see, I know, I took a health class in seventh grade. That's not how things work. And the angel said, nope, you're going to have a baby because this is how God works. Okay. Hey, let's take it back to Luke chapter 1. Let's take it back to Luke chapter 1 because honestly, church, and this is a great part of Luke's recording of it, is that he gives us the proper response when God shows up in our life. He turns it on its head and says, hey, look what I'm going to do if you trust me. Let's see what God can do. Chester, help me out. What verse did you stop at this morning in the opening? 35. The Son of God. Awesome. Awesome. I'm going to pick it up right there, okay? So, the angel has come to Mary. We heard the story this morning. He's going to be Jesus, and he's going to be kind of a big deal. She's not sure how this will happen. The angel said, hey, don't worry about it. The Holy Spirit will take care of everything. All right. Verse 36. Oh, by the way, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. Church, do you believe in a God in which all things are possible? Do you believe that with God all things are possible? Then how come we live each day as though it's all impossible? Why? God puts us in a challenging position. Oh boy, that just ruins everything. Does it? Does God putting you in a tight spot ruin everything? Now, it might ruin your future plans. But if we allow it, it will never ruin His name being glorified. And church, I got to tell you, I mean, you're here, so I feel okay letting you in on a secret. Our lives are for His glory, not for our comfort. They are for Him to be glorified. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer me who lives in this body. It is Jesus Christ who lives in this body. May God be glorified. Father, if it be your will, take this cup from me. But in the end, not my will, but yours be done. The virgin and the barren are pregnant. That's how God enters the world. What? Do you not think that was uncomfortable at Christmas dinner? Do you not think that that was shameful for this family? And yet, look how Mary responds to God turning her world upside down and making her a part of His eternal plan. In those days, verse 39. No, sorry. 37. For nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me to be the mother of my Lord, to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." Wow, so far. So what does Mary do with all of this? What does she do with allowing herself to believe that God is with her? To believe that she is merely a servant of God, and however God wants to use her life and her body for His purposes, she's all in. And so she says, "My soul magnifies the Lord. And my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For He who has looked on the humble estate of His servant, for behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For He who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is His name. And His mercy is for those who fear Him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with His arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He has sent away empty. He has helped His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy, as He spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her home. My soul magnifies the Lord. That's Mary's response. "God, you have looked upon me, your humble servant, and you have seen fit to allow me to be a part of your eternal kingdom." And though all the verses in the Bible tell me that the humble will be exalted and the exalted will be brought low, and all the verses telling me how to be great in your kingdom is to make myself least of all, I have ignored. I have not trusted, and I have considered myself so important that I don't deserve you to use me in whatever way you see fit. You see, Lord, I tell you, I confess it out loud, how I've been living my life. I will let you know the ways in which I am comfortable of you using your servant. Prayer familiar? Instead, my soul, my very being, who I am all the way through and through, magnifies the glory of God. All of me is His. And whatever He wants to do with me, blessed be the name of the Lord. That's what it looks like to be a servant. And so God, breaking into the world, and giving us this amazing story and just showing us how our life might be turned upside down to be useful in His kingdom. You ever done a favor for somebody? I'm sure you have. You ever done a favor for somebody that turned into another favor? You ever done a favor for somebody that turned into another favor and an obligation? Well, I didn't plan that. It's supposed to be fast and clean, right? I mean, they're that Samaritan on the side of the road. I'm going to come over. I'm going to throw them a dollar. I'm going to keep running. And God says, whoa. Now that I got your attention, let's be like Jesus. And then, frustrating, isn't it? Unless you and I every day get up and say, Lord, I'm yours. Today is yours. Today, these hands are yours. Today, these feet are yours. Today, these words are yours. May you be glorified in all that I say and do and where I go. Because I'm your servant and I'm just glad to be a part of your kingdom. What if we lived with that kind of humility? What if? Right? What if? What if we lived with the humility of Mary? God used her to bring Himself into His creation. Kevin read for us in John chapter 16. John chapter 16. I'm going to turn over there real quick. John chapter 16, Jesus is talking to His disciples. And again, the whole, 16, 17, He's preparing them for His death. And He lets them know. He says, hey, so things are about to get really difficult. And when they get really difficult, you're all going to scatter. You're all going to scatter. And even though you all scatter and it looks like I'm going to be suffering alone, you need to know something. The Father is with me. Look, church, you're going to have those times in your experience where you're going to look around these people in this room and you're going to go, well, they don't even understand that God has me going somewhere that no one else understands. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. In fact, isolation from people is probably a pretty safe bet when you're walking with God. Because that's what God does. He brings you to Himself to get some real work done. He does. He brings you to Himself to get some real work done. And so Jesus says, look, you're all going to scatter. You're all going to leave me, but I am not alone. Church, when you are going through difficult times, you entrust your soul to God, you are not alone. You are not alone. And then He says, because, it's a lot of our prayer and a lot of our energy is really put towards getting through the difficult times so that we can get back to the not so difficult times. That's where all of our prayer energy is. Lord, this is difficult. This is painful. This is frustrating. Solve it. Instead, Instead, in verse 33 of John chapter 16, Jesus says, I have said these things that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. He doesn't remove us from the present troubles. He joins us in our present troubles. Take heart. Be strong. Because Jesus has overcome the world. Wow. How fun is that? How fun is that, to be included in God's kingdom, to be made a part of His master plan, to be willing and able to be used in glorious, awesome ways to have His will accomplished in His earth. Goosebumps. It's kind of exciting. Now, you want this week to be different from last week? Because if I asked for a show of hands, probably a couple of you would say, Christianity was kind of boring this last week. Or, most of my energy was focused on me. Well, if it was, you probably didn't get too far. And if it was, your Christian faith might be kind of growing stale. How do I know? Because you and I are getting older. We're not getting any prettier. You and I are getting stale. You know who's not stale? The eternal one. The timeless one. You and I can go chasing after the things that we call new and improved. Nope. The only thing that lasts is the only thing that's newer and fresher than all of us. And that's from God. His name is Jesus. And He died on the cross to take away the sins of the world. You and I get to be a part of His eternal kingdom. And so, from now on, we will take the promise of God and we will respond in ways that God can actually use. If all of our energy is spent on, Father, deliver me from this hour, He just might. And if He delivers you from that hour in which He was to visit and use and make His glory to be revealed for someone else, what have you just prayed for? What have you just asked God to be brought out of? Danger? Illness? Discomfort? Suffering? Pain? Trouble? Anxiety? Whatever! Your will be done. We're your servants. If you're not a Christian this morning, Jesus died for you. If you're a Christian this morning, Jesus died for you. So let's give Him all we have. Let's give Him all that we have. His sacrifice demands it. And let's do it out of gratitude.